All right, guys, welcome back to Shakedown Shan. Hope you guys had a great week. Excuse my stuffiness. I'm allergic to my cat, and he slept right next to my face all night. So I'm really feeling it today.
And if you still have power, then you're doing good.
Yeah. We got quite a good ice and snowstorm yesterday. Roads are bad. We closed work early. We went home.
Did you?
Yeah.
Well, I know all the schools were closed up north. And the kids that I take my children to, I drive bus, go up to Queensbury, Prospect and Queensbury, and they never closed. We could get
really
12 inches of snow, and they have to stay open.
Oh, I had two snow days. You had a snow day on Thursday, too.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, see, they didn't hear that there was a full day, but they closed yesterday. Yeah. And so I went into work at 4:45, and everything was open. There was a delay at Saratoga. They were early dismissal, I should say. And then I leave about 6 in the morning, and about 5 or 6, all the schools started closing, calling in. I mean, that's late for schools to call in.
I know. I hate until they wait to the last minute.
I know it. So my school is closed anyway, but they wanted me to wait around in case some of the drivers didn't come in and they had school, but I got like 3 hours of just waiting around. I get paid for it, so.
Yeah, Noah's school is usually pretty good with calling early.
They are.
Like
they
3,
are.
4 a.m. But that's mainly because, you know, some of those kids get picked up at 6. Kids that live all the way out in, out near Edinburgh.
Right.
Out there in, like, out in Town of Day, up. It's crazy, like an hour away from the school, basically.
Yeah, and they're outside. The roads are like back in the country, like, and they usually don't get plowed out right away. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I know it was bad yesterday, though.
Yeah,
icy in the morning, and then with the snow and
on
ice.
Top of it, yeah.
And both my daughters went to Florida last Sunday.
Oh, good for them!
And they came home yesterday.
Oh,
and my wife had to go down to the airport in that snow in the afternoon. Yeah, so it was a shock to them to come home. But
yeah, that always sucks. We're trying to go to South Carolina again this spring.
Oh,
hopefully
nice.
It's warmer this year than last year. Because last year, in the winter, when we left, it had been, you know, we got those huge snowstorms, like, every week through March. And it was, like, negative degrees all the time. And so we left, having dealt with that, get to South Carolina, who the week before we got there had 80-degree weather. We get there, and we're in, like, a cold front. It's like 52.
I remember that.
It was rainy, except for like one of the days.
I remember you saying
that. It was 72 here.
And you know, the trouble with that is whenever you go on vacation, usually you only get a certain amount of time. Mm-hmm. And when you go on vacation, if it's lousy weather, I mean, that's even double bad.
Yeah.
You know?
We got a beach day in, though, so that's good. It's not as warm as we hoped, but it was the best we could do.
Mm-hmm. So
maybe this year we'll get 80-degree weather.
I hope so.
So I have exciting news for the both of us. There is a podcast out there that I was just made aware of called This Week in Liber Pods, I think. I think that was the name of it.
Okay.
By Nikki P. Nick something. I don't remember his last name. I'm sorry. He picks 5 libertarian podcasts that he really, really loves every week and puts clips of them on there.
Really?
And he chose ours.
You're
last
kidding.
Week. Oh, he made it on there. And not only were we on there, but Scott Horton, who is an incredible person to listen to if you want to know more about the conflicts in the Middle East. He wrote a great book called A Fool's Errand, I think it was called. Very, very intelligent. He was on that top 5, too. So it was like incredible that like I see our name for the show, and then I also see Scott Horton. I'm like, oh my God.
Well, I want to tell people that if they do that again, that this is your show. It's not mine. I just throw in things to get you mad at me to talk about the other side. I mean, this is Shakedown Shan. So congratulations.
So our friend Eric, he was on the show, I think, twice now.
Mm-hmm.
Sent it to me. He tagged me in it. And I was like, oh, my God, no way. And then I was, like, afraid to listen to it because, like, I never go back and listen to the shows just because I don't like how I sound.
That's me, too.
I feel like I sound like I'm 12, and I don't know.
That's a good thing.
So I was like, do I listen to it? Do I not listen to it? Like, I had my finger over the play button for, like, ever. And, of course, the clip he picked was from when I was a little sick.
Oh, no.
So not only do I sound 12 to myself, but I'm also not sounding the greatest.
If you have it, send me the link.
Yeah, I'll send
That'd
it to you.
That'd be kind of neat.
So I did listen to it, and he said the same exact thing that I say all the time. He goes, well, he said he always enjoys the show. We always have great conversation and stuff like that. And he told people to go check us out. And he said, I'm not sure how old she is. She sounds 12, but makes for a pretty interesting show.
Well, she is so smart. And she's only 13, so.
So I did find out who it was that did the show, and I sent a message and thanked him and told him I had to just laugh that he's the only person that has ever agreed with me that I sound 12. And sometimes I look 12. Sometimes.
And that'll look good.
I think it's my height. Honestly, as far as looks go, I look so young. I'll always be ID'd.
Yeah, but you know what? You are young.
I know.
I mean, you're not 12. You're not 12. But and that's good, though, because, you know, when you get older, you're still going to look good. You're still going to look young.
Yeah. And I get asked all the time when I'm picking Noah up from school things, are you even old enough to pick him up? I'm like, are you kidding me? I'm his mom. You want from me?
I know, really. Come on.
I went to this school like almost my whole life. You guys know me. But yeah, anyway, that was exciting to see. So I think that's all I had for my recap on the week. I think, yeah.
Well, you know, I just want to add one more thing.
Okay.
When I used to go to the store, I don't drink at all, but. Like, I'll get a bottle of wine once in a while, huh. And Price Chopper, and they always ask.
You can get wine at Price Chopper?
They have cooking wine.
Okay.
But the bottle, they have, like brand, not brand name wines, but they have, like, Chablis
and
Rosé.
And
well, they do in the little cooking bottles, but I like to get the regular wine, okay. And they do have regular wine.
Huh.
Not a big stock of it. I mean, they're not a liquor store, but so when I first, you know, I went up to the cashier and I'm scanning and she comes over, she goes, I have to see your driver's license, please. And I'm thinking, yeah, it's a couple of years ago, you know, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I look that young, you know, and until I found out that they'd have to do it to everybody when
under
you buy.
Like, what's the age that it is?
No, any.
Anybody?
Any, because what they have to do, if you buy beer or alcohol or that, Price Chopper, you have to put it in the cash register. Otherwise, it locks the register. Otherwise,
oh.
You can't buy it. So they put your license in because it gives your age, and then it unlocks it. So, boy, did I have a big letdown, you know.
Oh, no. Because
at my age, to be taken, you know, there's no way. But anyway, I mean, I'm almost pushing 70, so it's like, come on.
No. I know, it's annoying, right? One of the stupidest things ever is IDing for alcohol and cigarettes. It's like,
yeah.
ID everybody, come on.
I know.
Like, at a certain point, you can kind of tell.
Yeah, I mean, I can see you, but, you know.
Right. Yeah, so... a lot of news over the week. Trump was acquitted, which we thought that was going to be the case. I remember saying back in the very beginning for impeachment, I said he may or not be impeached. He may or may not be impeached. We'll have to see. But even if he does get impeached, he's not going to be removed from office.
Right.
It just doesn't make sense.
But, you know, if there was a Democrat Senate, they would have removed him.
Oh, definitely.
Because I was very surprised. When Nixon was impeached, it was 100-0. Right. When Clinton was impeached, Republicans voted not to remove him. You know, they voted no. Not all of them, but most of them.
And then he ended up resigning anyway, right?
No, Nixon did.
Oh, but Nixon
When Clinton got impeached, there were Republicans in the Senate that voted not to remove him.
Right, because it was stupid.
This time, this time I think it was stupid. And all the Democrats voted to remove him, which it's kind of a sad commentary on where we are in politics right now.
Yeah, definitely.
You know?
Did you see Rand Paul's
speech? He was awesome.
I, first of all, love him for that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Rand Paul doesn't always, he tries to be his dad. He does, and sometimes misses the mark a little bit, and so a lot of libertarians get mad with him. But most of the, I'd say the majority of the time, he's on the right page.
He's
as
a voice
far
of
as
reason
being
a
libertarian.
Yep.
And what he did, I think, was fantastic. He wasn't allowed a question, I think, unfairly. Mm-hmm. And asked it anyway, was going to make it known, and gave his own explanation for it, gave his own answer to it. And if you watched it, I know most people are going to watch like the news media headlines and what they show of it. He didn't actually say the whistleblower's name.
Right.
He didn't come out and say the whistleblower, blah, blah, blah. And he kind of did it in a really smart way, I thought. And you could definitely tell it was Eric. What's his face? What's his last name?
Who's that?
The whistleblower.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh.
I don't know.
It was Eric, started with a C, Camellia.
It could be.
I keep wanting to call
sure.
him Carmelo. I don't know why.
I mean, he didn't give the name, though, did he? I can't.
He did.
Oh, he did. Okay.
But he didn't. He right. did, but he didn't. The okay. way he did it, you can't say that he did, really.
Okay.
Well,
the nice thing I like is the way he explained about whistleblowers. That
right.
you can't they're, fire them.
Yep.
They are protected from that, but
they're not protected with anonymity.
Right.
Which is true. And he also made a good point that if nobody knows who the whistleblower is, right, if no one knows who his name is, why is it such a bad thing to ask who it was? Mm-hmm. If you're, so say you're the person you ask the questions to, what would it be, the judge who, what are the, is it called that runs, who takes all the questions?
Oh, he was the, he was the Chief Justice
Chief
of the Supreme
Justice.
Court. Yeah, but he, right.
So if you ask the Chief Justice who the whistleblower was, and he says, you're not allowed to ask that, it would go against the protections and blah, 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 and anonymity and everything. But yet, the Chief Justice is not supposed to know the name. Why is that such a bad question? Why wouldn't you just say, I am unaware of the name?
Because
he can't lie under oath. So he can't just say that. He knows who it is.
Sure.
People know who it is. And it's not right that it's being kept out of this trial.
Right.
Definitely protect the whistleblower in terms of not being acted upon with violence.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure he's safe in that means. Making sure his job is safe. All that.
Right.
But it should be known to the people voting and to the American citizens all the information of the trial.
Because you know what I thought? For the longest time, I thought Adam Schiff was making that up, that there was no whistleblower. Because first he said the whistleblower should be known. Then he said, no, it shouldn't be known. And I'm saying to myself, you know what? He's probably just using a whistleblower as a means to go after the president.
Right, yeah. And one of the craziest things to come of Rand's speech started trending on Twitter, a hashtag of arrest Rand Paul. Thousands of people on Twitter legitimately calling for the arrest of Rand Paul for doing this, saying he's one of the worst senators ever voted.
Oh my gosh.
I think he's the only good one.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I can't even begin to understand the mentality of most Americans.
Well, I don't know. Susan Collins from, is she from Maine, I think? The one that voted for
Alaska?
Kavanaugh.
Alaska.
She's either from Maine or New Hampshire, one or the other. And she's running this year and for senator again. And she gave a good explanation, too. But you should hear, they played some clips of people that called her office. This one guy threatened to kill her. He threatened to kill her grandchildren. He said, I mean, he used all kinds of foul language on her, and I couldn't believe it. I mean, you know, if you don't like her, vote her out of office.
Right.
And he probably wasn't even from her state, you know. It's getting terrible. It really is.
Right. So I thought Rand Paul had a great moment. It was really awesome to listen to. And he pointed out a lot of good things that people you would think would agree with,
mm-hmm.
and why they would agree with what he did. And it's crazy that people are just so blind and just hate Trump so much that, like Rand said, we shouldn't be giving them this power to impeach over things that are not impeachable,
mm-hmm.
to create technically a coup against the sitting president who what they're saying he did wasn't unconstitutional or anything.
And it was an impeachable offense.
Right. So it's just I don't know why people don't want more restrictions on government, don't want less government, why they want more. If they're afraid of people getting into power and doing bad things with that power, don't you think they would want a more restricted government?
I would say so.
Wouldn't that make sense?
I would say so. You know, it's like income tax. I was always for a flat tax.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you buy a yacht, you pay the tax on it. And I buy a canoe, I paid a tax on it. That way nobody's can use write-offs or anything. But the reason why it'll never pass is because government won't be able to control the money that way.
Right.
They just want...
Because then the consumers control it.
Right. They just want total control over every aspect of our life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why things will never change, because they just want the power.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, bigger government. I mean, that way they could... One of the reasons I heard why Democrats have never advanced the prosperity of African Americans is because they always say that they do, but how they do it is by programs and giving money.
Which doesn't do them
any
good.
No, it doesn't.
No.
And they said they do that so they can keep them under the control of what their agenda, and that's just to give them more money, social programs.
And then also that just keeps them in this cycle of using those programs. And there's a word for it, and I can't think of it right now. We've talked about it before. Maybe I'll have to come back with that because I just can't think of it. But there's a word for that when the government uses those programs to keep people held down and
keeps them systematic.
I don't know. I'll come back with it.
Yeah, I mean, they want to keep them dependent on them for whatever they need.
Yep, and that's exactly what they do, and not even just by race, not even just to get the black vote. They do it with single mothers, too, and break up the household. There's no need for a father to stick around when the mother can go get assistance and make ends meet with that assistance. There's just no incentive to keep the family unit together, and that is good for them. That keeps them in power if they have these handouts and have broken families that can't rise up and be independent, which is sad. And then these people keep voting for them thinking they're helping them and don't realize that they are their enemy.
Well, do you know Senator Tim Scott from South Carolina? He's an African-American, and he's like... really well known. I mean, he's really good too. I mean, I almost think that he's in the same line as Rand Paul. Not a strict libertarian, but for people and empowerment. He said that to win, President Trump only got 8% of the black vote last time. And if you can get 12%, you usually win the election. And he said right now he's got 34%. Because of the jobs he's created and what that means for, like you said, the family unit and less dependency on federal programs. Because what if you don't get a full-time job and you get a part-time job, you still get, and we talked about this before, you still get some benefits. But if you don't work, then you're not going to get your full benefits. And so he's saying that it's real. They feel that he's doing more for them than any Democrat that's come before has done for him. So
because the end goal is to get rid of these assistance programs, but a good step in the right direction is to make it so you have to work at least a little, because then you get people out there, and then it's like, oh, I can do this. I can make my own money. And then you get that confidence, and then they might come across an opportunity where they get employed full time for a really good job. They might come across a really good opportunity, and then they no longer will need that assistance.
Sure, because so, they're socializing more. They're exposing themselves to more opportunity, possibly, where that if they're not working, they wouldn't have that. Then they feel better about themselves.
Right. You know. Definitely. And so that's a good step in the right direction. It's not where we need to end up, but it is definitely a good step. And he's doing a lot for criminal justice reform, too. That gets the black vote. So that's another thing. Did you see a Super Bowl commercial?
Yeah.
Yeah. I felt like that was a good one for him. One thing I don't like, though... is when politicians, and they all do it, every single one, use either children or families or situations to their advantage for political gains. And every single one of them does it.
Oh, yeah.
And I just always hate it every time I see it. Especially, who was it? Was it Bloomberg with the gun rights?
Yes.
And he's against it. It's like he doesn't really care about what just happened to your family.
No.
He cares about getting his stuff passed, and he's using you and your tragedy to get there.
Well, and no, I know. I didn't watch the State of the Union because I just can't stand like the recaps of it. But one of the nice things that Trump did was this soldier's wife was
I saw that, yeah.
And he had the husband come home from war with Afghanistan or someplace. She didn't know it.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of touching. I mean, I really did.
Definitely. Speaking of the State of the Union, I actually watched it.
You did? I figured you would. You watch this stuff.
It was an hour and 58 minutes was the clip of it. But about 30 minutes of it was just like where people gather and talk and blah, 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 before the president even comes in. And so I had to, like, skip to find where he comes in. I most wanted to see, well, obviously what he was talking about. But, you know, you see all the memes come out about him not shaking Nancy Pelosi's hand and the ripped up paper. And I wanted to see just how dramatic it really was. And to be quite honest, it wasn't as dramatic as everyone's making it out to be. And honestly, I think it was staged. And Nancy Pelosi actually votes for a lot of Trump's stuff. Mm-hmm. So I don't think she hates him as much as she pretends to. She will vote for any increase in spending that he passes, that he wants, mm-hmm. basically. And it's just, it's like watching WWE wrestling. Noah loves WWE. And, you know, you get these two people out there and they've had this whole story going on for weeks about how much they hate each other. They're going to go out there and beat the crap out of each other and blah, blah, blah. And this is just like WWE wrestling. It's such a show. And then you find them at the bar after.
Yeah, yeah. I know. That happens like in cities, city council meetings.
Yeah.
They'll fight. They don't like each other and they argue at the council meetings. And you would think that if one of them could shoot the other one, they would. And then you go out and they're sitting, talking, laughing at the bar after right. and having a good time. And I don't know.
But it's just like, so I must have missed the handshake thing. I didn't even see that part. I must have missed it. I wasn't looking at that time. But either way, A, I think it's staged. B, it's childish. Just shake her hand and don't rip up the paper. Just why? Why is this the thing right now? Yeah. Of course, it's the thing everyone's going to harp on.
Sure.
That's kind of a distraction. I think it was a good distraction for people that are in the outrage culture. To care about rather than what was actually talked about. And I props to whoever put it together. They got their job done because it's all I've seen on Facebook.
Yeah, I know.
And and so when she ripped up the paper, it looked like she had been given a script to do something because she started preparing the papers in sections of what to rip up ahead of time. And it looked like it was already pre-torn a little bit.
Oh, okay.
And so it looked like she'd been given a script of what to do. And then she just played it really bad, like she was a great B actress or something. Like, I felt like if I had her job, I would have been so dramatic. I would have made such a bigger scene about it.
I would have put it right by his ear and ripped it up. I mean, that's what she really wanted.
She looked emotionless when she did it. Didn't look angry at all. Just seemed like something she had to do. I just don't buy it. Not buying it.
Yeah. I gotta tell you, one thing that made, you know, there were a couple things that I saw that made me feel good. And one of them was when he mentioned this one program and the senator from Arizona, she stood up, a Democrat, she stood up and clapped. She was the only one, and she was sitting in between Kirsten Gillibrand and Kamala Harris. She stood up and clapped.
What was the program again?
I can't think of it now, but it's, I think it's, I can't think of it now, but she, before the address, she was on one of the shows, and she said that it's helping her state so much that...
Oh, was it school choice?
No, it wasn't no. school choice. It was some, like, job program, or... I really can't remember now, but when he announced that, she stood up and clapped, and that lady's a classy lady, I'll tell you, to do that.
She was the only one, and yeah. I just can't remember when.
If I was her constituent, or if I was a Republican constituent, I would vote for her just because she had the nerve to stand up for a program in my state that she was for. Uh-huh. I thought that took a lot of courage to do.
Right. He had a lot of stuff to say. Well, honestly, I felt like he did and he didn't have a lot of stuff to say for the State of the Union. In the sense that he did is because I have a bunch of different, like, categories of what he talked about. But he didn't in the sense of it's the same thing that he's been saying, pretty much. There was only a few new things. And there's, compared to the State of the Union speech last year, a lot of it was the same. Like, the jobs and the unemployment rates and all that, we hear it all the time. So that wasn't anything new, really. And then, of course, he like any president during the State of the Union, adds that fluff about previous leaders and blah, 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 and just, like, trying to instill that nationalism in people mm-hmm. that, because we're, like, a sports team here, and we just got to, really. Like, talk about the MVPs, which I just thought, I always think it's funny, especially the USA chanting. It's so weird that it's such a sports team mentality that we bring to politics. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's why we all like football so much.
Could be.
So anyway, he did talk a lot about jobs and unemployment. He talked about wages, which I thought was interesting. Talking about how people are making more now than they were 3 years ago. So I do agree that there are a lot more jobs right now, because he did cut down on a lot of regulations, and that makes companies able to employ more people. Mm-hmm. One thing I don't think should be taken credit for is the wage raise, because honestly, especially in New York, we just passed the $15 minimum wage. So I think on a state-by-state basis, all the states have been upping minimum wage, which we've talked about how bad of an idea that is. And I know that, so we just got the $15 minimum wage, I think by, what, 2021?
Yeah.
Everything has to be 15.
Right, because New York already has it, New York City and down that way.
Yeah. So I already was getting paid well over minimum wage, and because it's mandatory that by X day you have to be $15 minimum wage, my pay did go up to keep me well above that mark.
Okay.
Because they're good people. They want to have their employees making well above minimum wage at all times. Yes, people are getting paid more, but how much of that is because of the federal government? I don't know. I think it has a lot more to do with people voting for outrageous minimum wages. Because, yes, my wages would have gone up just because of how well I do my job. Mm-hmm. And I just deserve raises and stuff. But it's also going up because minimum wage is going up.
Sure.
So I don't...
Yeah, I know.
I didn't think that was
a... Walmart did?
No.
A friend of mine's wife works at Walmart, and they, this past week, they're giving everybody a wage to $15 an hour, even though New York, up like you said, up mm-hmm. here, I can't remember.
$12.50? $12.10? I don't know.
Something like that. But something. They ended up giving everybody $15.
To keep them above it, yeah.
Right. So, I mean, in Walmart, what was always known as one that didn't pay their employees well. But I guess he was saying that, they're doing so much business and they're making so much profit that they decided that they would raise their salaries to $15 an hour, which I think is good. I mean, they should have done that a while ago.
Well, yeah. I mean, if a company wants to do that, so be it.
Right.
I don't think they should be forced to.
Oh, no, I understand. And they really weren't forced to, because here it's not near there. So they got, he said, my wife got a $2.50 an hour raise. Mm-hmm. And
but yeah. It's going to be 15 soon.
Right.
So they're either going to have to keep that
difference.
They're going to have to raise it more again. if they want to stay above minimum wage. But yeah, I just thought it was kind of funny. You know, Trump, sometimes he does that. He'll exaggerate a little bit and be like, oh, and the wages are so good. And it's like, well.
Well, too, I think the tax cut that he gave. I think that's why he did give tax cuts. And he's thinking about another one after the election. But I think that may have helped the wages a little bit. Or not the wages, but people having a little bit more money. Spending money because the taxes were cut a little. Of course, in New York, Cuomo will raise them just
to counteract it.
Yeah, right, to counteract it. So
New York never sees tax cuts.
Gosh, a friend of mine is down in North or South Carolina, and he said gas is $1.99 a gallon.
Gas is so cheap down there.
I know it. The taxes. I mean, New York adds so much tax.
Let's see. So he also talked about the military a lot and how he wants to spend another ungodly amount of money on the military, which honestly, if he just pulled all the troops out, he could save that much and use that savings for what he wants to do. So it's just like, well, maybe if we just cut your spending a little bit and then you have that extra money, you don't have to ask Congress for that money. Then he started talking about, this isn't in order. So something he started talking about was health insurance, and premiums going down and stuff like that, and how he wants to still cover pre-existing conditions, which Democrats are crazy about that, right? Nobody stood for it. There were a few things. So, actually, not a few. There were a lot of things that Trump mentioned that were very Democratic as far as, like, political viewpoint. And that I thought that, you know, they'd stand up and clap for because it's what they fight for.
Right.
And they didn't.
No, infrastructure was one that they're really hot on infrastructure. And he... That was one of his campaign promises.
I'd say about half of them stood up for that.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Because that's one that they are really hepped on, too. And Pelosi said the next day that that's something they could work together on because they're both for it.
So some things that he said were the pre-existing conditions. He does not want to cut Medicare, which... I thought the Democrats would have been happy. And he does not want to touch anyone's Social Security, which I thought they would have been happy about that too, about him saying that. I don't think Social Security is strong enough for it's going to go away at some point. There's just, it's not going to do what it was meant to do eventually. Eventually, it's just going to run out. There's going to be a generation of people that don't get it. That's just bound to happen. And it's unfortunate that we've been, you know, lied to in this promise that this is always going to be here and be there for us. But somebody's going to get hurt.
Well, you know what I believe? That it should still be deducted from your pay and your employee should match it, but it should be a forced... savings for a person. That
it shouldn't, you said?
It should.
It should?
Not for the government, but let's say you have a special account, personal account, that is called social retirement security, let's say. And let's say you take out $30 you pay in Social Security a week and your employer matches it. Well, that $60 goes into Shannon's account. You can't ever take it out, all right? By the time you retire, that amount of money is in there for you.
Right. So you're saying that what you put in stays there, no one ever uses it.
Right.
But you.
But you.
Rather than the system we have now where everyone pays in and it gets used by the older generations right now. And then when we get there, hopefully the younger generations
it'll still be there.
Yeah.
But see, that way, I mean, your employer still matches it. It's still done the same way, but it's a forced savings account for when you retire, and you can take it in payments. So you'll be earning interest in it because it's in an account. Mm-hmm. But I think, I don't know, to me, if it's getting that low and it's going to be eliminated, that's maybe what we have to do.
I think people should be responsible for their own retirement.
It's hard, though, if you have a family and you're spending money when you're raising your kids and things like right. that. But, I mean, I honestly believe that if you take that out, I mean, you're having it taken out anyway, all right? I mean, the government's getting it. And they're getting both your employer's contribution, which is matches what you have to pay.
Mm-hmm.
That if you save that amount from when you're young and starting to work and it goes in, you're not missing that amount of money because you're already paying it.
Mm-hmm.
So it just goes into your own account. And
see, the problem with it is allowing the government to control it. Where I think is if you had like the idea that you have
mm-hmm.
where your employer takes a certain amount of money and puts it and matches it, like, you know, like a 401k or something,
yeah.
Into an account for you. And then you have that when you retire. That's great. But it should be between you and your employer of how you do that. Shouldn't be forced by the government to do so, because if you don't prepare for your future life or raise a family that loves you enough to help take care of you as well, then you weren't preparing for the future. So you need to get those things in place, or get like a savings account that has like really good interest rates on it or something, or like exponential increases on it. I don't mm-hmm. know, what is it, a CD or something? Or is those
a
things?
CD or annuity.
We learned about these in school, and I just didn't care enough to listen.
No.
But I just, because when you allow the government to play with that, where is all this money going? There's right. no transparency.
Well, I don't mean for the government to handle any of this.
Mm-hmm.
You put it into something that you can never lose, all mm-hmm. right? So you may have to take a little less interest because you're not taking a chance, but you take care of that. I mean, it goes into an account, and that money goes in every week so mm-hmm. that, you know, over the period of years.
Right. And I think the biggest mistake with Social Security was allowing the government to have such big control over your well-being in the future. Because what happens if they were just gone tomorrow? What happens if they were overthrown and mm-hmm. we no longer have our government? No one's getting their Social Security money that you've been paying your whole life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's just, it's just not a safe mechanism of savings. If you're trying to save up for a house, you're not going to trust the government to take your savings every week
right.
and put it away. Because if you go to them and say, where's my money, and they don't have it, it's, we don't have it all well.
You can't may lose do your anything house. With them. Yeah.
But yeah, I just, I don't think Social Security is going to be around for somebody's generation, and it's going to be difficult. I don't know if it's going to be mine or if it's going to be my children's, but it's going to be soon. Yeah. So you talked about that. You did talk about school choice. Just allowing kids, you know, school choice. We mm-hmm. talked about it last week.
Yeah.
Which I think is good, especially since the Democrats are so against school choice for some reason.
Yeah, but you know what? Most of them send their kids to private school.
Yes, yeah. So he talked about allowing that. He talked about the opioid crisis, which we talked about last week, and took a lot of credit for the deaths in opioids going down, but we looked at it last week that yes, they may be going down, but they're going up in other places.
Yeah.
So just like Trump always does, he's going to take these numbers that are really, really good, and let's talk about those, and let's not talk about the other side. And not just him, everybody does it. So I thought that was funny that we just talked about that, and he just brought it up.
You probably gave him the idea.
Probably.
So you brought that up, and you gave him the idea.
Talked about ending late-term abortions. He brought that girl in that was born at 21 weeks, and she lived. And I agree with that. Let's do that. I agree with the idea that you shouldn't have late-term abortions. However, we talked about it leaving the studio last week that I don't know what I feel on how government's role should be in it, that there is no right answer on either side. And it's just something that we're never going to get a right answer on. And I know how I personally feel about abortion, and so do you, and so do most people.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't give an opinion on what I think the government's role should be in it. I don't know if they should ban it. I don't know if they should allow it, because I can't figure out if it's the woman's body or if it's murder. It's such a gray area. It's not black and white. It's I don't agree with it personally, but it's so difficult.
Right.
It's such a difficult thing to understand.
It is. I don't agree with it. You know, we talked about it. But if it's going to be, I don't think the government should use tax money to pay for abortions.
Oh, definitely.
And I mean, you know, and people got to realize that. And that's why I'm glad that Trump defunded Planned Parenthood's money for that.
Right. If they have so many people that believe in it, they should have no problem getting donations.
Exactly. Or pay for it themselves.
Right. But yeah, I definitely do not agree with 21-week abortions. That's a little crazy.
Or murdering a baby that's been born.
Yes,
and the mother changes her mind that she doesn't want the baby.
Right.
I mean, that's another thing we talked about. It's a long elevator ride down because we're on the EI Shan station high atop the 32nd floor of the Cayman building. So it's a long ride down. We did a lot of discussing.
Let's see. Paid family leave was another topic. Which is also very democratic, very actually socialist.
Mm-hmm.
Federal paid family leave. I don't know how it depends. Mandatory paid family leave would be socialist, right? However, if you are able to opt in or out of paid family leave, I don't see a problem with that. New York actually has paid family leave. I don't really know this because I'm just starting to trying to figure it out with like maternity leave and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know that this was even a thing until I just got my W-2 and saw NYSPFL. And I'm like, what's this? And I looked it up as paid family leave. Like, I pay into paid family leave every week, and I honestly had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if you can opt out of that in New York. Maybe you can, but
I don't think so.
Maybe you can't. So
no, because I pay it. And
well, that's silly.
Well, you would think so, but it's like property taxes for people who rent. They still have to pay property tax or, you know, their tax. Or school taxes, I should say. But, yeah, I it's taken out of my pay.
So I feel like if you're going to implement paid family leave, you should be able to opt out of it. Maybe you're not having children anymore. Maybe you're older and stuff like that or whatever. But you should be able to opt in and out of that. And if you opt out of it young and end up having a kid and you don't get paid maternity leave, well, that's on you because you opted out of it. So I don't know. He didn't say anything about how he wants to implement it, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't know if it's going to be mandatory or if it's going to be an opt-in, opt-out system. But either way, I would have thought that Democrats would have been very happy with that, yeah. Especially since they're always talking about it. Oh, this country has a whole year leave.
Canada does.
For moms and dads.
But, you know, they pay more in tax for that. I mean, if you look at how much money's taken out a week, it's like 40 cents, 45 cents. Canada, it's almost like a Social Security tax. And then that's why they can take like up to a year. Can you imagine an employer, though, taking you back after a year? I mean, that's a lot of time.
Yeah, that is a lot of time. I think I could be out of work for a year. I'd go crazy.
Oh, I know. I know.
Yeah, but I felt like the whole State of the Union was a lot of things that we hear all the time that aren't really new. And then actually a lot of things that I thought Democrats would have been really happy with. Trump's speech didn't sound as Republican as I thought it was going to be, especially after all this impeachment stuff. There were some very strong, like, Republican viewpoints, but a lot of overlapping Democratic views, which is interesting. So I wonder if that's going to play into his campaign for the next election, maybe to get more votes from the other side, maybe to win some people over, be like, hey, we also like see eye to eye on these things too. But yeah, I thought it was interesting to say the least about mm-hmm. that. And as far as the Nancy Pelosi thing, I don't think it was as big as a thing as people are making it. And honestly, who cares? That's not the news.
It isn't. And she's just upset that he didn't get removed. I mean, if she didn't.
I don't even think she's that upset.
You don't think so?
No.
Well, I think she's mad because he didn't. Otherwise, she wouldn't have started the impeachment as like she did.
Right.
I don't know.
No, I think she likes Trump a little more than people think she does.
Really? I don't know. I'm putting my money on AOC getting beaten this year.
All right. Well, I think I'm going to cut it there for this week. So if you haven't watched the State of the Union, go watch it.